Hello and welcome to our micronutrients module on strontium. We're going to talk about the strontium, which you've probably heard of in relationship to bone health. And I'm going to share some information and studies that are controversial at best, some good, some not so good. And the jury's out as to how necessary strontium is and how effective it is at actually preventing or reversing osteoporosis. So you get to think the research through and make some decisions about it. So like anything else, you want to be really careful that what you're sharing with people is as education. You're not going to be saying to people, oh, get off your Fosamax and get on strontium, or get off your Fosamax and start taking calcium and eating cruciferous vegetables, because that would be contrary to what their doctors told them. And you don't know, and you're not involved specifically with what that doctor is involved with. So you always defer to the doctor, even if you disagree. But you give the person really good education. You tell them, I'm educating you about how you can make changes that can reverse some of the deficiencies that you're suffering from or the imbalances that you're suffering from. So we're supporting people, we're encouraging people, and we're not treating them and we're not diagnosing. And as long as you stay away from those words and you're careful, nobody's going to come after you for practicing medicine without a license, because you're not practicing medicine. Even when you're reading people's labs, you're not practicing medicine. You're reading their labs, helping them to identify imbalances, and then deferring back to their doctors if there's anything that looks really out of range. So some general information about strontium. It's a silvery metal, and it's non-radioactive in its normal state. But there are radioactive forms of strontium that are sometimes used in supplementation for specific purposes. About 99% of the strontium in the human body is concentrated in the bones. So that's where we're going to be looking when we look at what does strontium actually do. It's debatable whether it's considered a necessary nutrient, an essential nutrient like calcium and magnesium and some of the others, and we don't have recommended daily allowances for strontium. But there is some compelling research that supports its use in strengthening the bones, and we're going to take a look at that, but we're also going to take a look at the other side of it to see if it really does work that way. There's a radioactive form of strontium, strontium-89, which is given intravenously and seems to be effective for working against prostate cancer and advanced bone cancer. If you have somebody that's dealing with that and you want to read the studies and pass them on to them, fine. But, you know, it's an area where we're talking about radioactive. Radioactive will destroy certain cells. So is it a selective radioactive against prostate cancer and advanced bone cancer? Or is it like chemotherapy, which is non-selective and does damage to the cancer cells and everything else in the path? The most common form of strontium in dietary supplements is called strontium chloride. And if you look at the overall amount of strontium stored in the body, it's only 320 to 400 milligrams, which is quite a small amount. So let's take a look at some of the uses and functions of strontium. So the form called strontium chloride hexahydrate is added to toothpaste to reduce pain in sensitive teeth. So if you see some of those toothpastes for sensitive teeth, the active ingredient in there would be strontium chloride hexahydrate. There's a form called strontium renalate that can help increase bone formation and prevent bone loss when used in postmenopausal women with osteoporosis. But here's the thing, it's not a natural form. The renalate is a synthetic chemical that's complexed with the strontium to make it a patentable form of strontium, not an over-the-counter nutritional supplement. That's the one that's been most studied in relationship to bone health. And some researchers will argue that it's only related to that calcium renalate form, not related to some of the more naturally occurring forms that happen in the foods. There's a radioactive form that may kill some cancer cells, which we mentioned. It's possible that strontium will help boost the formation of collagen and cartilage in joints. So that's the other 1% that's not in the bone. People who have fewer dental caries, or some populations where they have higher levels of strontium in their drinking water, end up having fewer dental caries. Is that related? Well, maybe it is. So let's take a look at the safety of strontium. So we've rated it from possibly safe, likely safe, and unlikely safe, or possibly unsafe. So strontium, when taken by mouth in the amounts found in food, is likely safe, right? The typical diet, if you just look at diet, not the diet plus supplementation, the average person gets about between half and 1.5 milligrams a day. That's tiny, right? That's the amount that's considered safe. Some of the supplements that you're going to see are going to be 20, 80, 100, even up to 600 milligrams a day. Is that safe? Let's take a look. The prescription form of strontium, known as strontium 89 chloride, is also likely to be given safe when given by IV under the supervision of a healthcare provider, where it's controlled and it goes in as IV. Nobody's looked at taking it orally because you generally don't take the forms that are more radioactive into the body that way. The toothpaste called Sensodyne SC that contains strontium are also likely safe, and they have actually received the approval from the Food and Drug Administration. Does that mean that they're actually safe? Well, we know that the FDA is not always 100% vigilant about making sure that the things they say are safe actually are safe in the quantities that the average person consumes them. So some of the things they think are safe, yes, in tiny amounts, which are way below what the population takes in. So it depends, you know, if you have somebody who swallows their toothpaste, or you have a kid that gets into the Sensodyne toothpaste and starts eating it because they like the peppermint flavor, that can be unsafe. A form of strontium we talked about before, strontium relenate, by mouth for up to 56 months, so that's a long time, that's almost 5 years, is possibly safe. It can cause side effects such as stomach pain, diarrhea, and headaches in some people. And high doses of strontium by mouth is possibly unsafe. High doses of strontium might actually damage the bones. And I've got a list at the end of this of a bunch of different references that you can go to if you want to go for more. I mean, the issue you're going to get into is somebody that's been, you know, changing their diet, adding a lot of the nutrients and the foods that they need to have strong bones, alkalizing themselves, are still not getting progress. They have read about strontium and they want to take it. So this is where knowing this stuff and being able to explain it is worthwhile. So some of the precautions and warnings about using strontium is in people with Paget's disease, which is a bone problem where their bones actually are softer than most, and they seem to take up more strontium than usual. So you want to be careful about giving people the strontium because their bones are going to take up more than maybe healthy. People with kidney problems, because strontium is eliminated by the kidneys, and it can build up in people with poor kidney function. And then blood clotting disorders. Strontium relenate has been associated with a small, but it could be significant, increased risk of blood clots. I think even a small risk of blood clot is significant. You know, a risk of a sprained ankle versus a risk of blood clot. A small risk of sprained ankle, small risk of blood clot, you know, blood clots are likely to be a lot more serious. So we really have to take it seriously if someone wants to go on strontium and they're asking your opinion, that you look at their situation. Do they have any bone softening diseases? Do they have any kidney problems? Do they have any blood clotting disorders? In that case, it may not be safe. And certainly with pregnancy, we have to be careful, because with pregnancy, you've got to be careful about everything. I mean, even your essential nutrients, you don't want to overdo it, because we're working with baby and the breast milk that the mom is feeding the baby right after it's born. It's likely to be safe during pregnancy and breastfeeding when taken by mouth in food amounts or when used in toothpaste. Food amounts, remember, 0.5 to 1.5 milligrams per day, tiny amounts. Strontium 89 is likely unsafe during pregnancy and breastfeeding because it's radioactive, and it's something to be really super careful of. It could harm the fetus, it can get into the breast milk, and it could harm that nursing infant. So anything that's radioactive, personally, I'm going to stay away from. even if they think it's safe, I'm just kind of a little nervous about that. I tend to be conservative about risk taking. Let's take a look at the strontium bone strength issue. Does strontium really increase the bone strength and density and decrease fracture risk? Well, the jury's out on this, and there are a lot of studies that go either way. What happens with strontium? It increases bone density and both the trabecular and cortical strength. The cortical is the outside part of the bone, and the trabecula is the inside, that weave, that structure. It makes the bones denser and thicker, but they also lack what's called ductility and tensile strength. Tensile strength is the ability of a material to resist stretching and pulling. And it's different from compressive strength, which is the ability to resist compression or crushing. We want our bones to have both in order to be strong. So just because a bone gets thicker doesn't mean the bone is stronger, right? It needs to have the strength. And we know this from teeth, for example, where sometimes kids who eat fluoride, they end up with these really thick teeth and they actually get fluorosis in deposits of the fluoride. But it doesn't make them any stronger, okay? So same thing with some of the things that are used to treat osteoporosis. So, it's possible that it's not what it's cracked up to be. Because if it's just making them thicker, it doesn't necessarily mean it's making them stronger. Because the compressive strength is always so much greater than tensile strength, the tensile strength must be thought about, must be considered as a primary concern, because if the strontium is increasing the compressive strength, but not the tensile strength, they're going to get them more out of proportion, which could lead to the risk of fractures. So I'm going to share with you a few studies. The links to these are at the bottom. I have several pages of references. This was a Mayo Clinic study, 22 people with very severe and painful osteoporosis. Part of the group took 1,700 milligrams of strontium. Now, remember what we said was the normal dose in food? It was down in the 1 milligram range, 1,700 milligrams. Another group took the same amount of strontium with both estrogen and testosterone. In the strontium plus hormone group, 90%, 9 out of 10, experienced marked improvement of their symptoms. And the one other one had moderate. So most everybody had a change here. We're only talking 22 people, right? We're not talking a huge double-blind placebo-controlled crossover study. Those that took the strontium only, 18 of the 22 had marked improvement, and the other 4 had moderate improvement. So it was a little less, but still fairly effective. So there's another set of osteoporosis research. This is a 3-year randomized complete placebo-controlled double-blind study, and it used 680 milligrams, so a little bit safer dose, but still a high dose. 680 milligrams of strontium daily, and the women suffering from osteoporosis had a 41% decrease in fractures compared to the placebo. Now, that's a good thing to be measuring. Right? So there, this looks like, maybe we're on to something. It wasn't just that it increased the thickness, but they actually had 41% decrease in fractures. The overall vertebral density in the strontium group increased from 11.4% compared to a 1.3% decrease in the placebo group. So these are the kind of research things that you look at and you go, okay, well, even though we're suggesting that maybe it just thickens it. In this particular study, 3 years, randomized, double-blind, there was a huge percentage, 41%, reduced their fractures, not just increased their bone density. So this could be good information. So the study is down there, Journal of Clinical Metabolism. Now, you always have to look at who did the studies and who's posting the studies. Right? If the studies are done by a supplement company that sells or a drug company that sells the strontium relenate, then you're going to think that there might be a bias towards not really reporting on all the data. Here's more osteoporosis research. We had 353 women. They'd already experienced at least one fracture, and they took varying levels of strontium relenate or a placebo. The group who took the 680 milligrams had a 3% increase in lumbar bone mineral density per year. significantly greater than the placebo did. And at the end of the second year, there was a significant decrease in fractures. So again, another study that suggests that maybe it's not just a matter of thicker bone, that the bone is actually stronger. And here's another one, a 2002 randomized double-blind placebo-controlled trial, 160 postmenopausal females who did not have diagnosed osteoporosis were asked to take a placebo or varying amounts of strontium. Compared to the placebo, women who took 340 milligrams had a significant increase in bone mineral density over 2 years' time. All groups took 500 milligrams of calcium, but no hormones or vitamin D. What does this mean? Well, this does not report on fracture rate, but it does suggest that maybe there's something here to strontium increasing the density, the bones, the health of the bones. So whenever we're looking at a supplement where we're going to be supplementing with large doses, like, you know, some of these studies were 1,600, 600 when the recommended or the amount that we would normally get in food is in the single digits, you start to question what can happen. Well, these are side effects that have been reported. Some of them are from the strontium renalate, nausea, skin irritation, blood clots, fainting. So the other thing is that strontium can compete with calcium for absorption. So it may be displacing some of the calcium in the bone. It causes the outer part of the bone, the cortex, that outer rim of the bone, to become thicker, which reduces tensile strength and increases the risk of fractures. So you wouldn't expect that. And strontium is denser than calcium, so it's actually difficult to assess the bone improvement on a DEXA scan, because you look and you say, whoa, that's really thickened, that's really great, but it's not that it's the calcium in there, it's the strontium. So if you're going to supplement strontium, I think being conservative, 200 to 400 milligrams a day, more of a preventative. We usually are not treating people in the acute stages of bone loss, we're treating them in a chronic state of bone loss. So 200 to 400 milligrams a day is what's been recommended. These are some of the forms that you can use. There's strontium citrate, strontium lactate, strontium carbonate, and strontium gluconate. And you may remember from the early part of our nutrients modules that we talked about what those different endings mean, and it's basically you're attaching another chemical to the strontium as a carrier, whether it's amino acid or formation from an amino acid or something else. Okay, renalate, that's a prescription drug. And the part that's patentable is that renalate molecule. So there are food sources of strontium. Let's take a look at them. We have unrefined whole grains, so not white flour, not white rice, not any of the white products that are refined, is the whole grains. Seafood, spinach, lettuce, carrots, peas, beans, celery, root vegetables, spices, and leafy greens. So a lot of the foods that we've been looking at all along as being healthier foods for people, they're going to be getting those low doses, those amounts of strontium that are reasonable. And that's it for strontium. I've got a couple of links out here. There's a good article on Save Your Bones, and she felt like, you know, it's really not strengthening it, and there are a lot of better things to do. It wasn't a first line of defense. Some of these others are chemistry, looking at it. Some of these are studies. And there's another page here. Okay, and then this is a good PDF at the very bottom. It's like a 10 or 12 page PDF that goes into some of the biochemistry and the physiology and uses. So that's it for strontium. And we're done, and I will see you on the next mineral.